You get golden nuggets out of people when you've broken down the barriers and there's trust.
Yeah.
That doesn't come on the first call.
No.
It comes on the 7th to 10th.
What fundamental changes did you make to get to where you are?
Nothing, just time in market. Time in market allows you to...
The mistake a lot of agents make is like, I've got to talk about my results.
The market just doesn't
you
care.
Know, and they don't even understand what they're talking about.
Trust is so much more important than accolades.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got just so much muscle in relationships, it just fires you so much further, I feel.
If you're just a single agent on your own and you never change that, you're going to struggle more and more and more. If you were going to get someone, what should you look for?
You need someone that you can...
Agents, welcome to the Get Keen podcast, your number one destination for learning how to get the most out of your real estate career. I'm Dan Lee, founder of Plum Property, one of Queensland's largest independent real estate offices, and Plum Partners, where we've helped dozens of agents create, run, and grow their very own agencies. On Get Keen, I chat to high-performing agents, principals, and agency owners, so you have the tools, strategies, and insights to grow your business and live the best life for yourself and your family. Now let's get keen.
Today, I've got a special guest, Pat Ivey from Harcourts. He is, he's got a few things under his belt. He's not even 30 yet. In fact, he's in the top three agents under 30 in Queensland and in the top 1% of agents altogether in the industry based on the amount of transactions and volume he does. And I'd say you're probably up there number one in Harcourts, Queensland.
Not quite, Dan, but one day.
Let's just say you are and make the story better.
That actually sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so he might
Sounds like you've read my bio on realestate.com. We paid someone to write that too, Dan.
Oh, it was just looked like it was from ChatGPT, mate.
Pretty much.
Lots of big words that you can't say. And so when did you get into real estate? Like, and what did you do before it?
2015 was the year. Prior to that, I was studying at QUT Property Economics and working behind a bar at Pacific Golf Club in Carindale. So, you know, got to know a lot of the locals and the members and the community that way. It was a really good part-time job, which was, you know, led into a sliding door moment where I met a top agent there and he had a coffee with me and I started working as an assistant at Harcourts from there and, yeah, haven't looked back.
Okay, so you did that traditional... start as a sales associate first. How long for? And
correct, about a year.
Yeah,
worked under a guy called Dane Evans for 1 year, and then went on a retainer. And from there, obviously, learned the hard way that you really need to work really hard when you've got the seatbelt off, handbrake down. Like you've just got to make sure you turn up each day because realistically, there's no wage. It's commission only business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the art of it. It can be what is it? The hardest paying, highest paying, whatever income in the world or the lowest paying, easiest job in the world. It's just up to you how you envision that and interpret it. But, fortunately I've got a team now and I've been privileged to be in the business long enough now to have great foundations and I've networked well enough where, you build a bit of a brand and then people are intrigued to know, how do you go about your business? And I don't reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I work 6 days a week, sometimes 6.5. I always try to protect my Sundays. 6 days a week and I'm always on. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly available and it's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great, it's a great art if you if you can manage it. Now, I'm big on my gym. I'm big on my health and fitness like a lot of top, performers are. However, I also don't like to flaunt it. I like to be in the community and I like to build relationships, give back to local business. And that's just, I've found my little niche. I love it. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah. And I've noticed that on your social media, like you've got a really good blend of doing real estate, but personal stuff and lots of community, which is really cool. Like if I was an outsider looking in, just kind of trying to discover who you were, that's really attractive because, you can kind of get to know you really inside your social media and what you do and like the way you give back to the community is not only is it a good look, but it's that's the kind of stuff that good blokes do.
It's double-edged. So you go to your local IGA, you'll bump into three clients or three pipeline. It's like, hey, how are you? You're always on. Likewise at the gym this morning, I put in a group of four people and I know three of the four and extremely well. And, you know, they want to ask about the market. They want to ask about your commission rate. They want, it's just perfectly normal, right? It's the first thing that comes out. What do you charge? But I suppose just disarming the whole agency stereotype here is what I'm going for, because I don't want it to be all about numbers and deals and sales and records and like what all of our other competitors do. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and place. Yeah. But if you can really gear it from that community component, it's hard to be hated.
I know. And that's, again, that's what you do really well, because I think the mistake a lot of agents make is like, I've got to do social media. I've got to talk about my results. And literally all they ever do is talk about their results. And it's not bad to celebrate a good result and put some of that up. But
the market just doesn't
care.
You
know, they don't care and they don't even understand what they're talking about. You know, you see agents going, I did 30 million, you know, this quarter in sales. What does that mean to the, what does that even mean to the public? They don't know.
If anything, Dan, it's polarizing.
Yeah.
And we, you know, had an agent, you know, list and sell something in our area, you know, in Carina Heights, and broke a record and put it all out there and DLs and everything. But do you know who all the neighbors called? They called me. And they wanted to know my opinion on it, and they wanted me to come out and list their homes, because trust is so much more important than accolades.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got just so much muscle in relationships, it just fires you so much further, I feel.
For sure.
And it's just so much more natural. Like it flows so much better instead of going, look at me, I look at all my awards, how good am I? Don't get me wrong, we've all had that egocentric mindset once upon a time, but the quicker you lose ego, the more business you get.
Yeah,
it's just simple,
right? I agree.
And you would have learned that too.
Absolutely. And you know, that results-driven stuff is kind of catch and kill. You're trying to catch, you know, you will catch the odd person that doesn't have a relationship with an agent already. But
maybe
nothing,
you didn't want that business anyway.
Possibly not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because they could be quite high maintenance. If they're that easy to win over, they're going to change their mind as quick.
Yeah.
It's how I feel.
And usually, you know, if someone's calling you off a flyer about results, they're not just calling you in. They're most likely calling a number of agents in. So nothing beats that relationship-based business, because you're unlikely to be in competition. Well, not necessarily, but less likely to be in competition. Mm. And you've already got such a big foot in the door, your chances of winning the business when it's relationship-based is so much higher. So you obviously do that really well, and that's what you concentrate on, relationships.
Correct. And don't get me wrong, there's still pipeline work, there's chase lists, there's everything going on in the background, but coming across very naturally and not like it's scripted by any means. I'm not good on CRM systems. I wouldn't even know how to put a trail in and put history. So I think that the customer appreciates that it's not a, hi, how are you? We spoke 6 months ago and you told me that you were renovating this. And it's more, hey, can't believe it's been a year since you bought that off me. How's everything? How's your family? How are the children? What's been happening?
Mm-hmm.
How's work in your world? Like, how's your business? You know, so I think coming from that angle, it's a little bit more empathetic and a bit more care associated, I suppose.
Real conversations. So you focus on real conversations.
And don't get me wrong, we're busy. So the conversations might not be massive, but people are time poor as well. A lot of the families that I speak to have children, and that you can hear the kid in the background. So I know I've got a 30-second window of attention. I've got to make the most of that and be impactful. Whenever I go meet with someone, like for example, this afternoon, I've got an 11:45, a 1 o'clock, a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock. I try and always protect my Fridays too, but not the case. People love doing business on Fridays and people are in good moods on Fridays. Let's prospect Fridays. But anyway, I've got a very short window of opportunity to make a good first impression. I take jewels with me. I take a bottle of red or a scented candle, whatever it takes, just to like, here, take. Because when you give something, and they take, it's just automatically disarmed them as well. So if you're leading in, if what my presentations kind of look like is, you know, if it is potentially a sign up, I'm taking a $35 bottle of red wine with me, which I know is entry level, but I buy them bulk. Really, it's a $50 bottle to everyone else. And then I'm taking in a pre-list magazine, which is about $45, $50 as well. And then I'm taking another propaganda. So each meeting kind of costs me about $100 plus our time. When you combine that, it's quite an expensive meeting. But it's so worth it when you could potentially list their property and do business with them in the future. But what I'm getting at is I don't take any meeting or interaction lightly. I've got that first impression to make. It lasts a lifetime. And obviously, if I've been referred in the door, they're expecting something of me as well. So I've got to be on.
Yeah.
And if I've just had a really shitty call prior, wash it off, move on, water off a duck's back, get into that meeting.
That's such a cool thing that you do. You take a gift every time you take a meeting and you say that it's an expensive meeting, but really that's a cheap meeting because that first impression just of giving something of value, which is a nice thought, yeah, completely disarms them. You're starting off that meeting on a really happy vibe. So I don't see that as expensive at all. That's probably cheap, really, you know, because I reckon you're just automatically giving yourself a step above any other agent that comes through that door, because most agents would not do something like that.
Well, it is. It's outgoings, right? And yeah. I mean, if I've got three or four meetings this afternoon, think about that. So, and I'm doing 2-3 meetings each day with homeowners that want to know the value of their property because they've got an intention to move. And then obviously I'm doing buyer work in between that. So, it's an exciting role, but as you know, there's ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mate. The pressure builds as you get.
Sure.
Yeah. But I kind of enjoy that. I like the high pressure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Especially when you're pitching on a higher end piece of real estate as well. And, I love to be the underdog. I think that there's real merit in that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've grown my market share, there are other people now that are potentially considered the underdog. But I never have that attitude myself. I always go in thinking I'm not going to win it. And I always try and leave a great first impression and a lasting one, of course. And also follow through with my word. So if I say I'm going to do something, obviously just want to action that and ensure that they know that I've done everything I could to, yield the best outcome and result, which I know it doesn't sound like I'm reinventing wheels and it doesn't sound like rocket science. However, a lot of agents leave a sour taste because they don't actually, do the work, do the negotiating properly, ensure that they've got that particular buyer or seller the best outcome possible. And for the seller, it's the most amount with the best terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the buyer, it might be just getting a property in a really good location and just finally getting out of the market and just securing something.
Mm.
And there's a real fine art because you want the buyers to trust you and get on board, but you're trying to get top dollar. So you just want to make sure that you're massaging both that correctly so that everyone feels like there's been a little bit of give and take, but obviously for your seller's half because they're paying you, making sure that they're walking away going, okay, that was a good experience.
Yeah, for sure. And you want to try and give that good experience to both as much as it's sometimes difficult because those buyers, they need great service too. They're having a rough time in a busy market and they will appreciate and remember you if you give them that good service. And those buyers might only be 3 years, 4 years, they'll be selling again. And if you do give them that great experience when they buy, the chances you get in that listing when they sell again is so high.
And I look at my current stock list and, maybe it's 30 to 40% of properties that I've previously sold as well.
Right.
And
that much.
That to me is a really good indicator of, hey, we've got a really good client retention strategy around, okay, well, we're not bugging them with calls every 3 to 6 months, but we are checking once a year minimum. And then, if we kind of feel like they are maybe moving ahead on the conveyor belt, okay, well, what else can we do to add value? Can we go around there and provide some trades, quotes? Can we take care of a bit of project management? I mean, sometimes we bite off a little more than we can chew just to be transparent, like selling off furniture and stuff like that. But, sometimes they're overseas and that's really well received that we're looking after this sort of stuff for them while they're away. And, having a team is resourceful in that regard. I wouldn't be able to do it without a team.
Yeah.
And I've got great people around me and a great business that I work within that is very supportive. And it's all about culture, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like you've got an excellent culture here.
Thank you. Yes, I really think we do. I think it's one of our main strengths of Plum and the whole organization is we've, always tried to maintain a no dickhead policy and, values around respect and teamwork and trust. And, it's kind of just looking for the right personalities to fit our business that are going to fit with everyone else here. And I think we've managed pretty well because it does get quite hard the bigger you get.
Of course.
So tell me a bit more because you said 30 to 40% of your business comes from past buyers. And it's something that I did tragically bad when I first started real estate. I was all about who's selling next, who's selling next. Because kind of like how I was trained where I was is it was all about who's selling next. And so we're always like trained to just get out there, make calls, find out who's selling. And then we'd, maybe get a listing and then eventually sell it. But my after sales service sucked. It did. And it took me 4 or 5 years to figure out, oh, shit, this is really important. I need to look after these people, because I started seeing those buyers relist their properties with other agents, and nothing's more of a slap in the face than seeing a property that you've sold to someone. Yeah, you thought you had some relationship with them, sure, but really I don't. And that's on me, because I wasn't giving great service. I wasn't staying in touch. I wasn't giving them any further value outside that transaction. So you're obviously doing that really well. By the way, I did pick it up later once I realized it, and it served me.
It's great business, because you know the property well.
So tell me about your after sales service. Like, what do you do? Is it a yearly thing, or what do you do straight after? Is there any procedures you guys have?
We ensure that the pre-settlement inspection and settlement process goes as smoothly as possible. Now, there's always things that come up at a pre-settlement, right? You've just got to be mindful of people that take the mickey, because sometimes, you know, there's a little fault or whatever. And for example, dishwashers, unfortunately had to pay for lots of dishwashers. Oh my God.
The amount of washing machines and dishwashers.
Even recently, right, you know, a pool fence was not compliant.
Oh no.
It was the end of the world, and I just ensured, okay, hang on, I don't want it to be the end of the world. I just want to get in and get it sorted. So sometimes you just got to pay that little bit of money just to move on. And you know what? It made that person's day.
Yeah.
They went, hang on, I'm dealing with a professional here that just didn't want to sweep something under the rug, because all agents like to sweep things under.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you got to be careful, because people get wind of that and then they try and take the piss. But I think that there's a fine line. Is it urgent or not? If it's urgent, they got young children, get the pool thing fixed.
Mm.
Dishwashers, etc. I get it. Really, it should be on your seller, but your seller sometimes is finished with it.
Yeah.
So you've got to be mindful, but I'm talking that can be a make or break in that relationship
for
years down the track when they go to sell. Hang on, he dealt with that so well. He's got my business. I'm not even going to interview another agent.
Yeah.
And that's what I've guaranteed by just doing the right thing by people.
And it's like, I know there's so many situations, like, and sometimes it's kind of your fault, not kind of your fault, you know, it's kind of two parties' fault, you know, like a solicitor's missed something in a contract, and then, you know, it kind of falls on us that we botched it. But it's always better to take the high ground, I think, in those situations where it might be a few person's fault, and us as the agents who have, you know, stereotypically the bad rep amongst the industry of doing the wrong thing, it's so important to do the right thing in those situations. And, you know, there's so many times where, you know, I had to buy someone a dishwasher or a washing machine because, you know, the building and pest guy didn't check it out while they were there. But then, you know, the client thought, well, you should have known about that, you know, even though I didn't. But me just going back to that client and saying, well, I didn't know about it, and the building and pest guy didn't see it, so what am I supposed to do?
It's really a grey area, Dan. But
it's a grey area,
not everyone's expecting you to fix it or pay for it, but just acknowledge, move on and apologise. And if there's something you can do down the track, that would be a nice thing to do, I suppose. So, you know, I've also recently been involved in sponsoring lots of local clubs and charities and donating sums of money to Meals on Wheels and all this other stuff that people go, hang on, he's not just an agent in it for a quick deal. And I feel like, you know, maybe some of the competition are in for that quick deal and get paid and move on. But I don't think that that'll guarantee you 30% of retention business like we've got, because a lot of those people do follow us on socials and we make sure we put it out there. It's not all about donating and putting it on socials, but we happen to be, you know, really be on that platform consistently, whether we're listing, selling, giving back, or just, you know, day-to-day and vlogging and stuff like that. It's cool because they get to know the man behind the suit or the man behind the sale.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And that's, once you've kind of got people on that level, it's a lot easier to do business with. It comes back, ties into retention.
Mm, that's so important. Like, that's what's so great about social media is, you know, I used to use it a lot and do my property videos, and, you know, they went sort of locally viral and were popular because they were different. And people would feel like when I went over to their house to meet with them to talk about their property, I would get so many comments that, oh, I see your stuff all the time. And it was almost as if they'd already known me for a couple of years, even though it was the first time that we'd met. And that's what comes through in your socials as well, because when I see them, it's just like it's just you being you, kind of, you know, having a bit of a laugh, you know, showing something in the community. And you watch that. If I was to have you over to some, like, like to see my house after that, I would feel like I already know you. Is that, do you find that as well? Like,
yeah, for sure. People are a little guarded with a lot of agents, but I feel in my area I've maybe earned that little bit more trust where they're a bit disarmed when I'm walking in. They're open to talking about, you know, process, price, presentation, market in more detail because, you know, you've got to kind of earn that right to go down that path. But, you know, even on my way here, I had someone call me out of the blue. All right, Pat, we've got a deceased estate and what's your commission? Like straight up. And I'm like, hang on, I'd like to come see the property first. Can I at least come meet with you? Nah, we're too time poor. What's the fee? I said, well, maybe it's maybe not the right fit. Like I'm all about maybe coming out, seeing it, meeting you in person, shaking your hand, getting to know what's going on because I just don't want to, you know, provide everything up front when I could actually meet with you, show you how I'm going to get you more forward and go down that path as well, which I know is different topic of conversation, but while we're on that topic, it is prominent. Everyone wants to know how much, where it's at.
Yeah.
Oh, you charge that much. Oh,
I would always find if they called and they asked you that straight away.
I just don't have the relationship.
Whereas well, you don't have the
relationship. If I had the relationship, that's not coming up until right at the end.
And you won't get a call back because you'll tell them the fee. They'll call five other agents and there'll be a cheaper one and they'll just go with that agent. So what's the point?
Then they'll call you in 90 days' time. And that's also nice going in there. Second time around, it's always a little bit more realistic as well, and you get it, like maybe it wasn't the right fit first time around. It's not that agent's fault. They were just, you know, hungry for the business, which we all are hungry, but you know, I think when you've got proven track record like you do and like we are starting to form in our area, people like to deal with the professional in the area because hang on, his strategy works. It's proven. He's done it for years. Yeah. So it's not just in and out quick deal. This is a guy who lives and breathes in his area, understands the market, knows the square meterage rates. It's like what Alex Jordan talks about. We know all that area in our area in Crean Heights, Camp Hill, Carindale. Like it's just second nature to us.
And look, I noticed you about 5 years ago. We started chatting through social media because you were doing.
We went and grabbed a steak together at.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
ribs
after.
And burgers.
Yeah, I remember that. That was lovely.
The first, yeah.
I tried to hold your hand.
Correct.
It was the first. It backfired.
Nice meeting with you, Dan. Yeah.
I would like to try again.
Ever since then, we've had horrible meetings.
Yeah. But when I noticed you were coming up on my social media because it was about the time when I was doing a lot of property videos and I noticed you were doing property videos and I was like, who's this beard man with the sexy husky voice?
Great. And we're very lucky that a lot of this will be on podcast. It'll be audio.
Yeah.
So thankfully.
Actually, this is going on YouTube.
Okay, brilliant.
We'll
just have to rock it. I wish I dressed up for it today.
Hey guys, just quickly, if you're loving this content and you're a real estate agent that's already thinking what it might be like to have your own real estate business and brand, then check out the show notes. There'll be a link to our Plum Partners website where you can leave an inquiry and me or one of my team members will reach out. We help agents to create, run, and grow their own real estate business and brand so they can earn more and set up a better future for themselves. So get keen, get in touch. Now let's get back to the episode.
When I noticed you 5 years ago, you were doing about 20 deals a year. So you were a good agent. But now, like this is 5 years on, you're where you are now, you know, very, very high performing. You got the team. And you're doing, from what I can see, maybe 90 to 100 deals, could be more. What fundamental changes did you make to get to where you are?
Nothing, just time in market.
Yeah.
Gains you experience. Time in market allows you to handle situations with buyers and sellers very differently. You know, time in market allows for more referrals and recommendations. It's just time, right? So what, I'm 29 in a week's time. And I think back to when I was 21, energy shifted maybe a little bit. Like maybe I'm not as hyper and energetic as I was, unfortunately, but that's just life. But maybe I've got more controlled energy too. And I utilize my energy throughout the day a little differently. I really need to structure my day because I do find that after lunch, I do trough off a little bit with energy levels, but then ensuring that, again, I'm present in the meeting and I've got one shot at that impactful impression on someone. So ensuring that if time in market's the thing, well, let's really unpack that. It's time. So my time is really important now and I value that. So each meeting that I go to, I want to give it 110% instead of maybe back then I was 50 to 60%, but I'm also very unconsciously competent. You know, and my colleague Igor brought that up to me the other day. He's like, but you're on loudspeaker the other day. you were doing something with a client, moving things around, helping trades, and you're on loudspeaker talking about an auction reserve set. How? I just said, oh, it's kind of second nature now because I'm not needing to think so hard about it because I'm experienced with it. And don't get me wrong, I'm still present. I'm just handling a few things, different things at once. So I could be on the computer doing a CMA before my next meeting, but on a phone call to a buyer who's looking to bid at another auction on the weekend, giving them advice because they've got a home to sell and I want to help them. And it's just how the world goes around. But realistically, I'm doing multiple things because I'm experienced now, and not as experienced as yourself in your late 30s or someone else who's been in the market 20, 30 years, but I kind of feel like I'm doing that 90 to 100 deals a year. I've brought my experience levels right up without being in the market 30 years.
Yeah.
But I still take my hat off to those agents that have been in it 30 plus because I look at them as vets in the area and I go, I just got to respect that.
For sure. Yeah. Anyone who does a trade for that long, whatever it is, you know, it's admirable to stick to the same thing because so many people jump around.
Because it's also quite stressful. And then you look at that, okay, well, when you get home, how do you decompress? Because that's challenging in itself. And if they've been in it 30 years, man, there's a lot of nights where they've come home overwhelmed, not slept properly or, you know, had to like really, you know, be kind to their other half too. Like you can't take your work problems out at home is what I've also learned.
Tell me about your like prospecting schedule. What do you do mostly? New listing, sales. What do you focus on?
Personally, I focus on prestige properties in our area, and calls around a just sold or a just listed property.
So it's the basics.
Homeowners. We've got so much data now; it's not funny, and that's come from time in market. More data, simple. But if you don't have time in market, I would suggest to you jumping on RP Data's, Price Finders, unearthing some of that data. There's so much data everywhere that you can, you know, nestle onto. But don't be annoying. Don't call them for minutes at a time. And also don't call with no intention or value add.
Always call
with a sale result. Or always call from an angle of how can I help and service. Just changes the whole call. No one wants a call saying, hey, would you like an appraisal? It's very annoying. That would be my recommendation to people. But I've also geared my team off that dialogue and geared it back onto, hey, look, Pat's just listed this property in the street. We'd love to welcome you through the first open this Saturday from 12:30 to 1. You know, it's a lovely home. You know the street well. And if you can't make it, look, I apologize for all the added traffic in your street. It's just little polite calls like that, which may, again, disarm someone and then encourage them to come through, get their mobile, but also get their email to then put them on an email trail, which is not annoying. It's a nice trail once a week that suggests to them what's going on in the market and locally around them. And, people appreciate little things like that.
Absolutely. And in those calls, saying something courteous like that at the end of the call, what a great way to just, you know, stop any angry neighbor on the weekend or something like that and disarm them. I like to disarm people at the start of a call like that as well. So the first thing I would always say is, I'd always, if someone picked up the phone, let's call them Julie. I'd say, hi, is that Julie? Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Julie, it's Daniel Lee from Plum Property. First of all, I just want to say thank you very much for your time right now. I know you're probably very busy and don't need to hear from me. And that disarming straight off the bat with something really courteous and polite would get me like engaged with that so many more people by disarming the not going straight into, oh, hi, it's Dan Lee from Plum Property. I just wanted to give you a call because.
Yeah, sure. And it is tonality there too, Dan. Hey, like, you know, I'm so sorry to bug you. I promise you'll be really quick now while I've got you. So this property just four doors down, it's just hit the market. Like, it's the best street ever. Like, you and I both know that. Like, this is top of Crane Heights. Kildare's amazing. Could you please come through tomorrow? Like, I'd love to have a neighbor to come through, give me your feedback on price. It would mean so much to me. Like, no one teaches that tonality, right?
Yeah.
It's all about, I've just listed a property in your street. It will be open from 12:30 to whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on.
Make the call fun.
What if we make it a little bit fun?
Mm.
And we've got that acting ability where, we've got the acting ability. Yeah. Hey, I did year 12 drama. I did very well. I'm not an actor, but I think it's important to just be a little bit fun with it because, again, it's a high-pressure world. It's an angry world. It's also a very boring world. Let's make it a bit more colourful, creative. And that's, I think, what's really helping us be memorable, be impactful, and getting more doors.
That's got to be one of your biggest strengths on the phone and just being fun with it. That's seriously, if you can make calls fun and just lighten up a bit and and don't make it so regimental and robotic, and actually just have a bit of banter with the person on the other end. You get so much further. Not even
especially
do you get...
some of the elderly in the area.
Yeah,
I love old people. I get around them. I used to work at a retirement village for a year or two as well during uni days.
What did you do there?
I helped my cousin sell retirement villages on the Gold Coast, Henley on Broadwater, which is in Southport. But I was able to connect with elderly extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just really enjoy talking to them because I like old-fashioned things.
Yeah.
I like the old-fashioned images, fashion. Look, I don't know if you can see my corporate mullet, but everything's coming back, right? But I wear those little hats and I like smoking Cuban cigar because I like the old school, the 30s and the 40s. That's why I'd love to go to America one day and see how it all was. But I like to, when I'm talking to an elderly client, slow things down, be genuine, authentic. Their time is, limited as well. They don't want you to waste their time on a call because they could be doing something else. But realistically, Dan, using words like hooroo, all right, hooroo, great to chat. Like you're connecting, being relatable, and they remember you. So next time you call, you're the young agent. Oh, I saw you on the bus stop the other day, actually. Patrick, how's the market? What's going on? All right, well, we're not selling. We're going out in the box. But I tell you what, the fella four doors down, he told me he's on the move. You should give him a bell. So you get golden nuggets out of people when you've broken down the barriers and there's trust.
Yeah.
That doesn't come on the first call.
No.
It comes on the 7th to 10th. And it comes with time in market. It comes with experience. So even the deceased estate that called me this morning that asked for commission, I am still going there today. I still got past that commission question because he's like, well, you seem active in the area. Bugger it, meet me there at 4 o'clock. So again, you just got to earn that through doing the right thing by people.
I mean, I'll go back to your team. The ability to grow a team and the importance of growing a team means the difference of being a good agent and a great agent, especially these days. I mean, it's really getting to the stage now where if you're just a single agent on your own and you never change that, you're going to struggle more and more and more. And the bigger teams that have structure are slurping up all more business. There's a heaps of agents that don't make the move to get a team member. Maybe they're scared. It's usually they're scared of something, whether it's the cost, whether or not they're worried about how to manage someone. But if you were going to get someone, so if you're an agent and you're doing well, what's the first person you think someone should go for to like, all right, I need to move past just being me? What should you look for?
You need someone that you can gel with who is very good with people and can be client facing. You don't want to hire admin. Realistically, the office that you're working in should provide you with excellent admin, and we're blessed that we've got that. And I know that you guys have that as well. But you shouldn't hire someone to do Form 6s and contracts, no chance. Needs to be someone willing and able to get on phones, meet with clientele in person, connect, problem solve, and move on. So it's really a clone of you. I like having a male-female balance. I think that's really important. But even if you went female-female, male-male, whatever, but maybe try and add the other person in a, like have a third person at some stage of different orientation, just because I really feel like when you're dealing with mums and dads, you got to see it from a female perspective as well as the male. I think that that's important.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
It did, absolutely. I mean, I think that's it, because I've seen agents go, oh, I need someone to help me do all of my admin. But really what you want to do is you want to scale those dollar productive activities, the activities that bring in business. And there's so much leakage when you're on your own. You just cannot do everything. And you get to a stage where you can only deal with the listings that are right in front of you, and that's as much as you're going to get. You'll struggle to keep doing pipeline things and continuously building your pipeline. So someone who I think on the team who can help you continually build that pipeline and maintain it as well.
Correct.
Let's talk more about video, because you're one agent that sort of stands out on social media with what you do. So many agents say they want to do video, they want to do social media, but then they don't do it. And it's obviously it's probably one of the biggest New Year's resolution fails of a lot of agents is they'll say, I'm going to really get into my social media this year, and then they just get too busy. It's not a priority, and I guess it falls behind. But it is so important. What do you do to start? Do you reckon, like, give some advice for those agents that just what's some things you can start doing to
find an elite videographer? Don't do it on your phone. Just pay a little bit of money to get someone who's going to create like a 10 out of 10 reel that has a better chance of engagement than a really crappy piece to camera from yourself. So I think investing a little bit in yourself. I remember when I first started, I actually was probably too proud to go to my parents and go, can I please borrow some money? I just didn't want to be that guy, that son. So I actually borrowed $5,000 off a mate, cash in a brown paper bag.
Did he get anything for that?
It was a loan. It was a $5,000 loan. I had to pay it back the following month with interest.
Ooh.
I put that money straight into DLs, leaflets, video marketing, everything, paid him back $6,000 the next month.
Wow.
Because it just helped me so much, and I'm still so grateful to that man. And I've told a lot of my friends about this guy. He just helped me out so much at the beginning, and I just don't think he had enough praise because I turned five into a significant amount of money because I didn't have that ability to go and pay a videographer. But that assisted me to go and build this great relationship with Tom Kuzmer at X Media, and he was an old schoolmate of mine too. But I've been very fortunate to have such a great relationship with Tom where it's a paid relationship too. It has to be because I get such great value from his videos. Mm-hmm. I want to pay him money to produce such excellent art. So even if you don't use X and use someone else, whoever you use, make sure they are top of craft because that'll change your presence within your friends and family, but obviously in your market. You can then go and sponsor those reels, get them out there to residents that live in the area. Then I've now got another arm to it, which is my Facebook ads guy who creates ads in the background of Facebook, and then they start clicking into the ads and he starts automatically responding to them going, are you looking to buy or sell? Where do you live? What's your mobile? What's your email? So there's lots going on, but that's a funnel that's created from excellent content, and my content's far from excellent, but it's relatable. And that is therefore engaging, which then leads to a call to action.
Do you get many leads off all the videos you do?
Yeah, but I'm not chasing leads. I'm chasing relativity. I'm chasing connectivity because I know that that'll turn to something else in the future. But yes, there's leads that do come in, but it's not like I need to sell now. It's more of a, hey, actually, I've clicked on this. This looks cool. I actually live in the area too. Seeing you around, all the best. And then a year or two later, I might make a call to them and see how they're tracking. And then in 6 to 7 years' time, I might be fortunate enough to be listing and selling their property. So I don't look for instant gratification. Love a delayed grat. It's where it's at, right?
Yeah, really important to know because I know a lot of people think social media and that's a bit of a fad and it doesn't work for real estate because they don't get instant leads from it that are instant listings. It's not for that. You know, I don't, there are lead generation sort of ads, download this free appraisal, whatever you can set up, and you get about 20 rubbish like bots and maybe one genuine one come through. Like, real estate social media is not to get instant leads. It's about brand awareness. It's about creating an identity and a brand, and if possible, having a conversation with someone first or a touch base, a get to know you, which becomes business way down the track, you know? And I think you've got that. You know it. You already knew that.
Isn't it funny, this game, like, you could have a building reputation. You could have glowing reviews. You could be disarming the clientele and just being a good guy. But I got to tell you a funny story.
I love a story, please.
I was driving past, and again, I just looked like a pure agent this one time. I was in my suit. I was in my car.
Disgusting.
I had my window down, and I was driving past this lovely old couple, and there was a big snake on the road. There was a carpet python. So I thought I'd pull over and wave them down and say, there's a snake, there's a snake. And the old lady goes, huh, where? And the old man who was doing his gardening just said, fuck off. And man, I just found it the funniest thing ever because People don't like agents. So even on social media, this comes back to that. If you can be less agent-y, and don't get me wrong, you got to do your little just sold for this and just listed, whatever, but more community stuff to be less agency because I guarantee you, and the wife saw the way he spoke to me, she fully pulled him up on it. That's Pat. Don't talk to him like that. I think they thought I was someone else, like another agent in the area who does wear suits all the time and does just all about the sell. And I just thought that was humorous because you can be the nicest guy in the world, give back to all these charities and still get told to fuck off from the local public because they don't know you.
Yeah.
Or they just think you're a typical agent who's just in it for the deal.
Isn't that just...
If I was just in it for the deal, I wouldn't be in the industry anymore. I guarantee you.
Yeah,
you
get
chewed up and spat out as quickly as your values align.
It just goes to show how, like, that public perception is. That older man probably had some terrible experiences with agents, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, who knows when. But, you know, he sees man in suit, middle of the day, instantly agent, instantly fuck off.
It was awesome. Like that's, I tried
that's
to them.
And you know, that's just one man. That's, you know, a pretty broad probably reaction, possibly. And maybe not everyone would actually say it unless you're kind of, you know, at that stage of life where you don't give a shit.
For sure. And I love talking about this because it's just real, right? And I have had one other person, I reckon, in that market who's told me to F off. But I reckon that's a pretty damn good numbers when you think 2 out of 5,000 residents have told you where to go.
Is that all?
And one of them apologized straight after. The other one has just held this funny little grudge against me.
They apologize? So fuck off. I'm sorry.
Because the wife hit her. Hang on, that's Pat. He sold for our neighbor. He's a good guy. Like, I think that was really funny. And then there's this one other in the area because I think he tried to buy a home off me once. And I just, from the owner's perspective, was like, okay, no drama. Can I quickly come out and see yours? Because depending on how saleable yours is, I'd like to position it better with the owner. And he just took that as, you can't control my listing. And he just took it the wrong way. And ever since then, he's like tried to tell neighbors, don't use Pat. Da, da, da. But all the neighbors ended up using me and had a fucking 10 out of 10 experience. So I do feel bad for people like that. And again, you can't control the market, but you can do the right thing by people. And if you've got a bad impression, well, I would love the opportunity to make up to that person or for them to disarm and like, hang, I've tried to reach out since and apologize for his misinterpretation, but I actually mean well. I don't want to stitch anyone up. And I feel like anyone who knows me on a personal level gets that.
Mm.
And, oh, I think that comes back to why we do so well is because relatable, do the right thing. I'm in this business for a long time. Again, I want to be in this in 10, 20 years. The behaviors that I do now is going to make or break that, right?
100%. And, mate, you're already breaking records. And I thank you for your time here today. I would continue talking, but you're the one that told me.
Are we at the 45-minute mark?
We're definitely at the 45-minute mark. So
that went fast.
It does. It goes fast. Yeah, I could sit here and talk to you for ages more. You've given so many valuable tips. You really are like the king of your craft to be doing the numbers and the business that you do at your age. Like, it's pretty remarkable, mate, and you're obviously a great leader. I'd love to have you back sometime to give us more wisdom from the man himself, Pat Ivy.
Let's have beers, but I know you don't drink anymore, so.
Off the beers.
Let's have soda, you know what I mean?
I'll have some sodas.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on board.
Cheers, brother.
It was an excellent time.
Thank you for tuning into the Get Keen podcast. If today's episode inspired you, please show your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform too. Don't stop there. Join our community of forward thinkers by connecting with me on social media at Dan_Lee_Plum. I'm looking forward to exploring more strategies and insights with you on your journey to the top. Until next time, keep getting keen.